Blog Talk Radio.
What if you were wearing something sexy? What if you were drinking? What if you made the first move? No matter what, sexual assault is never your fault. Support is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, reminding you, it's never your fault.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keith. I'm your host, Joy Keith. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keith. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keith, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keith. Also, you can email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeith@hotmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if you miss any shows, you come in the middle, all the shows are archived. They're here at Blog Talk Radio, or you can check them out on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, and many other places that you get your podcasts. Just look up my name or the show's name and put the guest name, and it will pop up. Also, you can donate to PayPal, Saturdays with Joy Keith. Thank you for those who have already donated. Appreciate, allows me to do giveaways and many other things. Thank you. Well, this morning I have a guest. She's been on here before. I think this is her on the line now. Hold on a second. Good morning, Namina. Is this you?
Morning. It's me. How are you?
I'm great, everyone. This is Namina Forna. She has been on here before. She came on before about her New York Times bestseller, The Gilded One. That was her first book. It was absolutely fucking amazing. I'm going to just put that word in there. And now she has come up with a sequel equally as gripping and could not put down book. It's called The Merciless Ones. Good morning again, and thank you so much for writing a sequel.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So this is just the second, right? There's one more, right? Is that correct? This is part of a triptych type of thing? Okay. And
yes, this
now
is a trilogy. There's one more.
There's one more. Now, tell the audience just a little bit about the book. I know, but just tell them what this second book is dealing with.
So it's always hard to pitch the second book without, spoiling the first. So I guess, I'll just tell you guys what the first is about and give a little bit about the second.
The first book
in The Gilded Ones is basically about a girl who grows up in a super patriarchal world where there are a group of women who bleed gold, and because of this, they're thought of as monsters. And, then they're also faster and stronger than regular people. Then actual monsters come into this world, and the humans give these girls a choice, fight or die. My main character, Deka, decides to fight, and in doing so goes on an adventure that changes her life. This is why young adult fantasy, by the way. In the second book, Deka has learned a lot about the truth of her world and the truth of herself, and now she's fighting for who she believes are the people that are sort of the right side to fight on. But she set on this one mission that makes her question everything she thought she knew to be true. And that's like the best way I can pitch it without spoiling it, so I try.
Well, we're going to talk about some things. We got to give some things up. I mean, okay, let's tell them, first of all, you are from Sierra Leone, West Africa, and you moved to the U.S. when you were 9, and you've been traveling back and forth ever since. I want to tell people you can check her out on Twitter at Namina Forna, and also on Instagram, Namina.Forna. That's a dot in between the first and last name. And, again, I want to emphasize this was her first book was a New York Times bestseller. And I believe the second one is going to be close to, if not another great bestseller as well. And
it's
in the
also
first
a New
book,
York Times bestseller.
Oh, it's already. Okay, great. Look at there. Steve,
yes.
Look at there. Look at there. We don't have any slumps on this show. So the first book had different African languages in there. So that was something also that might be of interest to people. So she said young adult, but I'm an adult. I'm actually an over-the-hill adult almost, if you want to say, or 52, and I still enjoy it, but I also like sci-fi stuff. So if you like sci-fi, fantasy books, those types of things, strong female characters, great. You're going to love it. It also had a lot of history you had in the first book, I remember. You were taking things from real history and kind of like overlaying, like we talked about Benin and the walls in Benin. Remember, I don't know if you remember, but we talked about
I remember that. And you know what's funny? So like one of the groups that I based the women, the warrior women and the gilded ones, I based them on the Mino, which are basically the Amazons of Dahomey. And now, you know, there's that new movie coming out called, what is it, The Warrior Queen or something
Davis.
Like it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with
mm-hmm.
Viola Davis. And it's based on the same thing.
Yes. See, that's why we got to talk about this so they know what's going on and they want to buy the book.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Now, when I had you on before, we did talk about, you know, the patriarchal and feminism, but things have gotten worse, Namina, like literally worse in reality for women in this country, like a hundredfold. Go ahead.
I said I'm laughing because I just came back from Sierra Leone, and I was in Sierra Leone when, like, Roe versus Wade was struck down. And I was ironically at a conference about violence against women. And, like, I just sat there, and I didn't know what to say. Like, we all just sat there and looked at each other because, I mean, yeah.
It's crazy. One of the characters or the types of characters in your book, these women are called Alaki. Or am I pronouncing that correctly? Alaki? We need those now here. We need warriors now in this reality to deal with what's happening, because I feel like it's going to get even worse. And there are other laws that are going to be changed that are going to not only affect women but also affect men as well. That's something in your book, the second book, that you deal with, and you talk about the imbalance, like having all women is not good either. Like it should be men and women should be able to flourish. And how do you think our society is dealing with that now with this change? Do you think it's only going to be men again flourishing and women not being able to go to school or go to work or get equal pay, you know, or any of these things? None of these are they're further away now, or?
I honestly think that, like, the United States has been in this long and slow slide towards, like, basically dismantling women's rights and also dismantling the rights of other minorities, and that, of course, includes queer people and black and brown people. I do think that is the end goal, is to basically, it seems to me that in the United States, the only people whom certain politicians think deserve rights are white men. And like, that is the reality. Do I think that there is going to be like that absolute slide back, a rollback? I don't think so, but I think that is what, I think that's what the intent is right now. And I think that, like, if we don't keep fighting, that is the end result. It's funny, you know, like how people made Stay Woke a joke, but like, as it turns out, we needed to stay woke all along.
What does stay woke look like to you, Namina? What does that look like to you? When you say stay woke, what does that look like? What practical things can people do? What do you think people should be doing?
I mean, I think practically you need to be aware of who your representatives are, who the people who you're voting in are, what their records are. Like, I think that's just part of being an American citizen, is having the responsibility to sort of understand the issues. That is the thing of this great American experiment. It says, hey, everybody has rights, but in order for you to defend your rights, you have to actually sort of, you know, keep abreast of what's happening. And I think, unfortunately, right now, everything is so scattered. There's so many things, like, seeking our attention. Like, you know, on any given day, you wake up in the morning and there's news, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Like, all of these things are always competing for your attention. But, like, I think right now the important thing is to pay attention to what is going on politically, because it does affect all of us, you know. And, like, I think the other thing is that we tend to, like, look at, like, say, LGBTQ rights and say, oh, that doesn't affect us. But, like, when one group of people's rights sort of get, like, taken away, like when queer rights, trans rights gets taken away, it's a slow slide. To women's rights, it's a slow slide. You know, so it's like you just have to sort of keep abreast and understand that what affects other people affects you too. I think that's, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I agree with you. And I also want to, for me, my opinion about the Roe versus Wade is that people may not realize part of that ruling was actually a married couple was part of that ruling. And the woman, the wife, did not want to have the baby for medical reasons. So people only think of, like, this one woman fighting against the system, so to speak, the rights to trying to have an abortion. But there are many types of people that may need an abortion for medical reasons, for personal reasons, whatever the reasons. So it's not just a one face, you know what I mean, for somebody needing abortion, and that men are going to be affected by this. So if you're saying women can't have abortion, then women are going to have babies, okay, and they're either going to give them up or they're going to keep them, and then they're going to take men to court to try to get child support. The man may not have wanted to have a baby.
Yep.
So then he's going to be fighting against that. In the meantime, a child is suffering. In the meantime, a child does not have all the resources they need. So it's not only affecting women, it also affects men. So if there are men out there listening and they're like, oh, you know, poor women, that's a shame, I don't have to worry about that, buddy, that's not the case, because half
it
the country is saying
life.
Exactly. And half the country is saying, no way, shape, or form abortion. I don't care if you got raped, if it was incest, if you're about to die. Well, now they're truly
I mean, look at the case of that 10-year-old.
Oh, my God. Talk about that.
Yes.
I'm going to tell them. Some people may not know about that.
So there was a 10-year-old who was raped and as a result got pregnant. And so had to travel across state lines because her original state did not allow abortions. And so when she went to get an abortion, like so many Republican congressmen were like, that's not true, this doesn't exist, like there's no record of this like happening, there's no cases. And even reputable, quote-unquote reputable, news sources such as I think the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal said that like there was no way that this case was true. Well, come to find out later this week, one report, like the case finally went to court, and only one reporter showed up to actually bear witness to what happened. And this sort of exploded like just a lot of things, because all of these congressmen particularly who were saying that there's no way this is true had to sort of roll back their words. And there was a lot of sort of political shenanigans happening where people were, you know, sort of half saying, well, you know, I guess this is true. But, I mean, it is just unconscionable that a 10-year-old was raped, and I use that word because that is what it was raped, and, like, could not get an abortion in her own state. And then, to add insult to injury, had all these politicians and news sources saying that this did not happen to her.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely crazy. Let's talk about the book, Beck. Let's go back to the book. So the cover of the book is just as beautiful as the other one. Now, did the same artist do this one as well, or did someone different do it?
No, it's the same artist, Johnny Tarajosu. Check him out on Instagram.
Check him out on Instagram. It's a beautiful cover. If you're just listening and you may have not seen the book cover, go on to her Twitter or Instagram or my Instagram, and you'll see the pictures of the Merciless Ones on there. Beautiful tones. The woman is definitely, you can tell, is a black female character, which is great on the cover of a book. And then the costuming, jewel tones, it's really beautiful cover. Now, in the book, you have a lot of different creatures. How did you keep track of all these different creatures that you created?
That's actually my favorite part. I'm a super fantasy nerd. So, and not only that, I'm a super nature nerd. Like, I'm the type of person who wants, like, National Geographic just for fun, and watches the Discovery Channel and just chills.
Okay.
So, I am continuously coming up with new creatures. I love imagining, okay, what is this creature? What are its abilities? What environments does it thrive in? You know, like, one of my dreams is actually to create, like, an encyclopedia of, like, magical creatures that I made up. Like, I'm that geeky when it comes to magical creatures.
Have a lot in this one. You definitely have a lot. Mm-hmm. I love the water cows. But there's, like, these cows, like, things on the water. And they were, like, beating these other bad creatures. I don't want to give too much weight. But they were, like, kind of good in a way. But that was, like, a cool character. And then there's you have a companion to the main character, an animal who's almost like a companion. Like, say you have a cat, but it's way more than a cat. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
Yes. It's everybody's favorite. And wait till you get to book three, because then you get to learn way more about Ixen, where he comes from.
Yes, very, very cool character. And then, of course, one of the things that you talk about in the second book is, like, really focusing on how people have good and evil. They have both things inside of them. And it's repeated multiple times throughout the second book. And this is something inside of ourselves as humans, that we have good and evil. And we don't have to use the word evil. We could say bad. Or make bad choices. You know, we make good choices, we make bad choices. And that's really hard sometimes for people to accept. So, for example, if we go back to the 10-year-old getting raped, the person who raped her may have been a good person in some degrees, in some areas. If you think about priests, they do a lot of positive things, but then they have this horrible history of, you know, child abuse. So it's we have, as humans, these different sides to ourselves. We contain multitudes, but we think about that, right? One of the cool things is I don't know, do I want to give this? No, I don't want to give that away, because that's a big part. I don't want to give that away. I was just thinking
That's the problem. I write my books that are, like, somebody brought up to me the other day that my books are actually thrillers. And it never occurred to me that they were. But as it turns out, they are. And that's the thing about thrillers, is, like, there's so many twists that you can't give away the twist because, yeah.
Well, we could talk about the issue of the different gender issues and gay lesbian issues in the book. And that is something that more and more young adult books are dealing with. And I think it's really helpful. You know, they just had that show Tom Swift on. I'm not sure if you've seen that. And the guy was, like, a scientist.
No.
And he's a gay. And, oh, my God, you have never seen that? Oh, my God, you got to check out Tom Swift. The main
Tom
character
Swift.
is a, Yes, Tom Swift, he's a gay male character, but he's a scientist. And he comes from a very wealthy black family. And my point is there's now more gay and lesbian characters in young adult books. Did you have any backlash from publishers where people were like, no, tone it down, don't go there, or were they very supportive of you writing the different characters in the storyline?
They were very supportive. There was, like, no backlash at all to my understanding or to my knowledge. But I think in general, like, with a series like The Gilded Ones, I tend to go there in so many different ways that you can't, like, pull apart one because I think the thing about this series is I don't, like, I try to write it as honestly as I can, and when I say honestly, I mean honestly for me, right? So even though this book is young adult, it's very adult. Like, actually, it could easily be an adult book in that it is very straight to the point about things. Like, you know, if there's violence, there's violence. Like, I don't pull back on there. If there's issues that I'm talking about, there's issues that I'm talking about. I don't pull back on that. And so I think that maybe that's the reason I didn't get, because, I mean, after you've read the first book, you sort of expect me to say whatever it is I want to say with no holds barred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's, like, action, there's bloody action scenes, but it's not, like, drawn out like a Quentin Tarantino type of thing. I don't know. Maybe some scenes, but it's not gratuitous. It's what's needed, I think, for the moment. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I don't use gratuitous violence, but I do use violence. I do use violence to make a point. So if it doesn't make a point, I don't put it in because I don't believe in gratuitous violence. I don't, you know, I enjoy violence, but I don't want to sort of wallow in it if it's not necessary.
I mean, now, you know, parents might say, well, do I want my kid reading this if there is violence in there and there's blood? I mean, people, it's like this thing about watching video games. You know, books can get into people's minds, too, and give them ideas. What would you say to a parent? How would you convince a parent to buy your book?
I would 100%. I would say that, like, why you want to read the Gilded Ones trilogy is basically the Gilded Ones, my stated purpose when I was writing the Gilded Ones was I wanted to examine what it means to live in a patriarchal society, right? So I wanted to look at what systems supported, you know, government, religion, and all of these things. And I wanted to show in a fantastical way, but mirroring reality, you know, what are the things that women face in the first book? What are the things that women face when they're in a world like this? And so what I would say to a parent who's like, okay, I hear this book is violent. Yes, it is violent, and it is violent for a reason because it is showing what happens to women in patriarchal societies, right? And it's also giving girls a mirror of this is what the spectrum of violence looks like. These are the ways that you can fight back. These are the ways that you can create community. These are the ways that you can, and by fighting back, I don't mean punching and all of these things, because the most important thing in the book, I should say, is the understanding that we all live in a community and we are all only as strong as our community, right? So it's showing how girls can depend on each other and create systems to help them make change, right? So I would say, yes, it is violent, but it is violent for a reason, and it also offers up, you know, it also offers up,
You also offer male character perspective from the, like you want to say, the good side and the bad side, but the going back to we are stronger as a community. If you think about, like, the hand and the fingers, and, we're, you know, if you only got three fingers, you're only so strong. But if you have five fingers, you can make that fist. and you're way more powerful.
Yes.
So not just all women,
yes.
but you also talk about the oppression that men face in this world, in your book,
yes.
in your fantasy world. But it mirrors what's happening to men in our reality, you know what I mean? And so I think it can be also helpful for a young boy to read the book, get a different perspective also about how women are dealing with. Like, they may never have thought certain things and be like, wow, you know what? Never thought about that. Okay, yeah, maybe that's why so-and-so is this way, you know, or sparking conversations, you know.
It's funny because the Gilded Ones was always meant to be a trilogy, right? And I always wanted to I knew that for the first book I wanted to focus on what it meant for women to live in a patriarchal society. And when I got to the second book, I was like, okay, I want to examine what it means for queer, non-binary, and trans folk to live in a patriarchal society. But as I wrote The Gilded Ones and I did my research, I started to truly sort of realize and understand how much men are affected by living in a patriarchal society and how they too are oppressed. Like, because that's the thing is, like, one thing I will say is that, you know, men benefit from patriarchy 100%. They do, you know. But if we really look at it, there is actually a small percentage of men who get the most benefit, right? And these benefits are sort of, they're created by forcing everybody to stay in their place, right? And so as I was researching book two, I had to really sort of take a step back and start understanding what it meant for men to live in patriarchal systems, which meant I had to then do my research and have a lot of conversations with all my male friends and all my male cousins and relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really opened my mind, you know? Like, I had to sit back and be like, wow. Yeah, and to see what they were going through. And I was like, wow, this is really messed up. You know, and which
mm-hmm.
made me realize when we talk about women's rights, we forget that all the rights are interconnected, right? You can't like focus on one without the other, because like all of these things, like everything is connected. And so it was so eye-opening to me. It was so fascinating to me. And like, I'm really, really glad that I sat there, because I researched for like a year just like talking to people and asking questions
I can
and
tell.
Reading a lot.
The dialogue from, you know, the dialogue from the male characters some of them were in the first book, you can see their growth. You've allowed their growth and development, and little by little throughout the second book, you can see some of the male characters open up and express more about what they have been going through. And also, asking people to allow them to go through it. Like, don't kind of like, oh, don't worry, you know, just let me just do this right now the way I need to do it. And that's also important. You know, sometimes we may not want to see people sad. We may not want to see people angry, but sometimes we have to let them be that way for a period to get it out of their system, or for them to manage it, or, you know, deal with it, and then they kind of come back to center, if you will. Another great thing is you have a lot of different lands. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say really quickly, you know what I found fascinating in my research is that men and women are socialized to express different emotions, right? Like, socialized to see different emotions as appropriate. So, women are socialized to sadness and men are socialized to anger, right? So if a girl is angry, she has to bottle it in, you know, twist it up in herself and make it sadness, right? So like that's why like a lot of times when women are depressed, that manifests in sadness. When a guy is sad, men aren't supposed to be sad. So he has to bottle it up, twist it up, and manifest it as anger. So that's why dudes who are depressed actually tend to manifest as seeming angry. And that blew my mind to understand
anger,
that's how deep
anger
it goes.
And sadness, yeah, they're the same thing. It's just a different side of the same coin. People don't realize that. A lot of times when people are angry, people are like, oh, they're just angry. They're probably sad about something. They'll probably never admit that, depending on who you are, but they're probably sad about something. And like you were saying,
and they might
women,
not even recognize that.
They may not even recognize exactly that that's what's going on with them. Let me just ask you some other questions. If you were a fantasy animal, what would you be?
Oh, let's see. I definitely want to be a mermaid. I love mermaids.
A mermaid.
I would definitely.
Okay.
Yes, I would definitely want to be under the sea. You know, like when I grew up in Sierra Leone, I grew up next to a marsh that drained out into the beach, right? So you could, like, when the tide came out, you could walk across the marsh to the beach. And people used to say, well, people still say that Maniwaka, who is the goddess of the oceans, would come to that marsh every night to sleep. So I've always been fascinated by mermaids. And my grandmother used to tell me that, like, if I was bad, Maniwaka would come take me away. Now, this was around the time when the Little Mermaid came out, right? So I was like, what? She's going to, and then I become a mermaid. So I would do, like, all sorts of things. Like, you know, as a kid, like, you do the things you thought were bad, right? And then I'd wait for her to come and take me, and she never did. And so I'd get mad, and I'd go to the marsh, and I'd be like, I did this. Why aren't you here? Why am I not a mermaid?
Yeah, what's up? Where are you?
So mermaid, 100%. Yeah.
If you had to throw something away right now, what is there something in your house or something in your pocketbook or a closet? What do you need to throw away right now?
Dog toys. I have a I have a beloved child. Her name is Magnificent. She is a Maltese poo. And Missy has all the toys. All the toys, which she doesn't like to play with. You know what she likes to play with? She likes to, like, chase my hair or chase sticks. That's what she likes to play with. I'm like, I bought you 10,000 toys, and you don't use them.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to throw away her toys.
Throw away the toys. Okay, if you were going to Mars, what would you take? Three things you would take with you.
Nothing, because no thank you.
You don't want to go to Mars?
I don't want to go to Mars. No thank you. I don't want to go to Mars. I don't want to go to the moon. This planet is great enough for me.
It's just enough.
I do not have a sense of adventure like that. No thank you. Like, all I can think of is, like, what was that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where, like, they go on Mars and then, like, they explode? So, no thanks.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, if you had $100, what would you do with it?
Let's see. If I had $100, I'd go to lunch right now because I'm hungry. Well, it's breakfast, but I get myself a really nice
brunch.
Breakfast. Brunch.
Okay.
Brunch, yeah.
And what do you eat for breakfast? What's your favorite breakfast?
Leftovers. Like, let me tell you, I cooked a delicious Sierra Leonean curry, and I still have some left over. It was like a Sierra Leonean lamb curry. I put in all the pepper and the ginger. It's about to go down, okay?
Oh my God. Now you got my mouth watering. Oh, my God. Yummy. Can you, like, can you, like, send me, like, I don't know, like, was that Federal Express with the ice pack?
Yes. Like, you have to eat my cooking. Like, I'm a really good cook. I love to cook.
Oh my God. So what other dishes are you good at cooking?
Okay. So, well, I do genres. Okay. So I'm really good at cooking Caribbean food, Thai food, Chinese food, and of course West African food, with a particular emphasis on Sierra Leonean, Nigerian, and Senegalese food.
Okay, what about jollof rice? Can you do jollof rice?
Of course I can. What kind of question is that? That's hurtful.
No.
Can I just do jollof rice?
What? Okay, what about fufu?
I love fufu. Ooh, fufu and egusi is actually one of my specialities, okay? I love to do an igusi.
Okay, I can tell you are not only a brilliant writer, but now you're talking about all your. So we're going to have to come over, and you're going to have to give us a reading with all your cooked food, like, you know, like as a buffet style.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Namana, for coming on for the second time. Excellent follow-up to the first book. I still loved it. I really couldn't wait to learn more and more about the characters. They got more and more powers and all types of things. I was just on the edge. And, I don't want to give too much away, but it's just so many things blossom and come into focus in the second book from the first one. Some questions that you might have had, answers will be there, and then more questions come up, you know, but a beautiful story. I'm going to give away some copies of your book, so I want to encourage people to follow me on social media, and you're on Twitter, Namana Forna, correct?
Yes.
And then on Instagram, Namana.Forna, correct?
Yes, and I'm also... I'm also venturing into TikTok, Namana Forna.
Okay, TikTok. All right. Well, thank you again. And now you can go and eat some of your curry and throw away some of those dog toys.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. I will talk to you later. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with author Namana Forna about her second book, The Merciless Ones. The first one was a New York Times bestseller, and this one is a New York Times bestseller. I'm going to give away some copies, so you want to follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. I hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend. And I'm going to be doing an Instagram live chat next Saturday at 11:30. We're going to be talking about PTSD. That's a big issue, not just for veterans, but for many other people. We're going to be talking about that and where you can go for resources and signs and so on and so forth. So stay tuned. Come check in next Saturday for an Instagram live chat at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. All you got to do is log into your Instagram account and, you know, follow my Instagram, which is Saturdays with Joy Keys, where you can see the interview. You'll be able to ask questions. A little box down below will allow me to see if you have questions and things like that. So tune in for that. I will talk to you guys later. I hope you have a great weekend.
What if you were wearing something sexy? What if you were drinking? What if you made the first move? No matter what, sexual assault is never your fault. Support is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, reminding you, it's never your fault.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.